You know, we started a couple of weeks back on a new series called Be Real. Enda started it a couple of weeks ago, and the series is basically based on the app that people have on their phones now called Be Real. And the idea of the app, of the whole app thing, is what happens is every so often or some stage during the day, if you have this app, your phone will ping. And when your phone pings, you are supposed to stop what you're doing immediately and take a photograph of what you're doing at that time, at that very moment. And the thing about this app is that if you don't respond immediately, so if you take a photo of what you're doing, your friends can see it, your friends that you have. And if you don't take the photograph immediately, well, then your friends will get a notification that you delayed in taking the photograph. Wow. And the idea behind that is to show us being real. Yeah? You know, instead of all these other social media apps that we have out there, you know, where, you know, you dress up and you get yourself spruced up and you get ready and, you know, you find yourself doing something great and in a great place and then you take the photo and put it up on that social media app. This one is to show us being real, okay? So your phone pings and immediately you take a photo of what you're doing. Whether you're cooking, whether you're cleaning, whether you're studying, whether you're playing games, whether you're working, or whatever it is that you're doing, you're supposed to stop, take a photo straight away without sprucing yourself up, without tidying your hair, without changing your clothes, without changing the scene around you, and you're supposed to take the photograph and let the world see you as you are right then. Real, okay? Emma started this a couple of weeks ago, and the girls both have this app on their phone all the time, but Emma came home on the Monday after Enda starting the series, and she was, you know, as Emma lights up our house when she comes in. That's just her personality. The house just lights up when she comes in. And she comes in, she's telling you all about your day, and she's sitting on the couch beside me, and she's chatting, and her phone pings, and she goes, "Oh, Mom, we need to be real." And I'm like, and I will be honest, because Enda talked about honesty last week, I panicked a little bit for a few seconds. I didn't tell her that. I was like, "What is my hair? What am I wearing? What does the room look like? Is it tidy all around me?" And I realized that is the total opposite of what this app is all about. Now, as it turns out, it wouldn't load for her that day, remember, so whew, I got away with it. But this series just brought the thought pattern of what it would be like if us Christians were like that. We as Christians were real. What if we as believers in Christ were real? How would it look if the church of Christ, was real? And how do we do that? Well, personally, I believe that we can be real if we're like God, basically. Because that means if we are more like God, we can take a selfie at any time and it will be worthy of the world seeing it. Yeah. Nothing hidden, nothing changed. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the self, on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So we are to put off our old self and put on our new self. And our new self is to be created like God. It's to be created for us to be like God. So this should be our goal. As believers, that should be our goal, to be like God. Yes? Don't you agree? It should be our ultimate aim in life to be like God. And as Christians, as believers in Christ, our life is full of growth. We talk about that here all the time. We're growing all the time. You know, we become a Christian, we're not instantly ready for the hard stuff, as we call it. You know, we have to have milk for a while and then we grow, but we should be consistently growing. A life that grows more and more like God. A life where we put off what is not like God and we put on what is like God. We should strive every day to be more and more like God. And when we do, that enables us to live that abundant, fulfilled life that Jesus came to give us. Now, last week, Enda talked about the importance of honesty. If you were here, you may remember. And unfortunately, we learned last week that it's not the human nature's default to be honest. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? It's not our nature to be honest. We have to work on that. And he showed us, we saw videos of experiments that they have done over the years where people have been very dishonest. And we as believers in Christ, we need to be honest, we talked about last week. We need to be truthful. We need to be upfront in our lives, don't we? In all areas of our lives. We as Christians should be known for our honesty. So how do we do that? Well, as we read in the scripture, we put off our old self, and we put on our new self, which is created to be like God. So this week, I want to look at another aspect of being like God. Are you ready? Are you ready? So we're all honest people in here now, right? So we're ready for the next one. We're ready to take the next step. And the area that we want to look at this week is anger and self-control. Ooh. I said anger and self-control. So maybe I should go anger and self-control. Not fun at all. These are not the angry ones. Wouldn't it be great if there was no such thing as anger? You know, wouldn't it be great? Isn't that a thought pattern for a second? Wouldn't it be great if there was no such thing as anger? Wouldn't it be great if people never got angry? If anger didn't exist, if there was no hulks in the world, what if we all prayed and got rid of some anger? Right now, if we just stopped and we just prayed and we got rid of all our anger, we prayed and we got rid of all our spouse's anger, we got rid of all our boss's anger, what if we did that? Wouldn't the world be a better place if we could rid it of anger? You know, we could go wherever we wanted, whenever we wanted, and we'd be safe. We wouldn't have to worry about temper tantrums. We wouldn't have to worry about horrible outbursts. We wouldn't have to worry about road rage. Let's just get rid of anger. That seems logical, right? Yeah. That seems like a good plan. You're wrong, I'm afraid. You're wrong. I have news for you today. We cannot get rid of anger from the world. Because in order for us to rid the world of anger, we come up against an obstacle. And that obstacle is, would you believe it? You're going to be shocked. Are you ready for a shocker today? The Bible. Should I sit down? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 says, what does it say? Be angry. Be angry and do not sin. Wow, be angry. The Bible says that it's okay for us to be angry. That must be a wrong translation, yeah? That has to be. No, let's look at another translation just to be sure. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26 in NIV says, in your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. The Bible tells us to be angry. There are times when we are to be angry. Yeah. But before you sit back and fold your arms and think and look at your spouse or whatever and say, now I don't have to deal with my anger issue. Wait a minute, amen. Don't get too comfy. Because the second part of the verse tells us, do not sin. Okay, so we can get angry, but we're not to sin in the midst of it. What does that mean? Well, I know you know what it means, don't you? Because we can all recognize this. This registers for all of us. We all know that a lot of the mistakes and the failures and the sins that we've committed have, a lot of them, been born out of anger, haven't they? A lot of us have an instance in our life, or maybe several instances in our lives, where we look back on and we're not very proud of because we failed. And it was associated with anger. See, we can all wrestle with anger. At all, can't we? All times. We can all wrestle with anger. But in that scripture, part of that scripture, it says, be angry and do not sin. Now, if we look at the scripture in full, and then we look at the next verse as well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So there are four things there. Be angry, do not sin, don't go asleep angry, and don't give the enemy any opportunity. Or as some versions say, don't give the enemy a foothold. We're talking about being more like God, but we can't be like God and not be angry. Putting on the likeness of God is being angry. But angry is so negative, isn't it? It's horrible. Anger is horrible. So how can this be the case? Well, shall we have a little look? We'll have a little look at Jesus. Amen. Who loves Jesus? Matthew 21 and verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus arrives at the temple of God and there's basically been a marketplace set up in the middle of the temple. Tables set up, chairs set up. Everyone is quite comfortable, doing a lot of business, making a lot of money probably, having little chats along the way. Nice little setup for themselves. Money being changed, stuff been bought, stuff been sold. So what does Jesus do? Does he look away while his father's house is being abused? No, he does not. He gets annoyed. In actual fact, he gets angry. He didn't like what he saw and he took authority over it. He reminded these guys of the plan. He reminded these guys in the temple what the purpose of the temple was supposed to be. A house of prayer, not a den of thieves. He overturned the evil and drove it out. Jesus got angry. And look what happens in verse 14 when he did. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. You see, now the temple is being used as it should be. When the enemy was in control of the temple was being used incorrectly. It wasn't fulfilling the purpose it was designed for. Jesus gets annoyed. Jesus drives the enemy out. Now the temple can fulfill its purpose. It can be used for what it was intended to be used for. Miracles are happening now. Lame people are walking. Blind people are be able to see again. People are being healed. Lives are being touched. Lives are being changed. Amen. Lives are coming closer to God. Jesus got angry. But it was a righteous anger. You see, people were being kept away from God. People were being kept away from the things of God. And Jesus got angry. Let's look at another instance. Mark chapter 3 and verse 1. Again, he entered the synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. Ugh. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. Look what verse 5 says. And he looked around at them with anger. He looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was restored. Praise God. Jesus looked at them with anger. He was grieved at the hardness of heart. Jesus comes into the synagogue and here is this man with the withered hand. And this man is here with a withered hand and they're watching to see what Jesus will do because it's the Sabbath. Amen. And that's against their rules to heal on the Sabbath. When I thought about this, there was a man in front of them with a need. A need that Jesus could sort out. There was a man in front of them with a need, and all they could think about was catching Jesus out. That's all they could think about. Let's catch this guy out now. He looked around at them with anger. Jesus was angry at these religious leaders. Because he was looking at this guy here in need and he knew he could do it. And all they could do was watch and see, is there a way here that we can catch him out? So he gets angry because they're trying to keep people from the things of God. Why would he get angry? Why would Jesus get angry? Jesus got angry because, like I say, they were trying to keep people from the things of God. And Jesus got angry because he loves. Amen. He loves, and anger can be the inverse of love. The Bible teaches us that anger is a necessary part of love. In this fallen world where there's sin and struggles and things going on, there are things out there, church, that should anger us. Yeah. Amen? But it should be a righteous anger, a righteous anger. Because righteous anger is necessary to live righteously in this sinful world. Yeah. It's okay to be angry at the things that are pulling people away from God. Amen. That's okay. Because anger can be a destructive energy and a protective energy when it is righteously released in response to something you love. Yeah. God gets angry because God loves. Mm-hmm. Amen. Psalm 145 verse 8 tells us, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So God is gracious, church. God is merciful. Yeah. He's slow to anger. It doesn't say he doesn't get angry, but it says he's slow to anger. And he's abounding in steadfast love. Amen? Steadfast love. He got angry in the temple because he loved the people that were being kept away. He got angry in the synagogue because he loved this man with the withered hand. And he wanted to help him, but they were just trying to catch him out. God gets angry at sin. God got angry at sin. Amen? Why? Why did God get angry at sin? Because it was hurting the people that he loved so much. Yeah. So he got angry at sin. And in his anger, what did he do? He acted redemptively. Amen. Yeah. God acted redemptively. Mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It's Christmas scripture, really, isn't it? For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. This is what I want you to see. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Zeal is a passion motivated and fueled by anger. Yeah. Zeal is a passion motivated and fueled by anger, but not a selfish anger, not a vindictive anger, a redemptive anger, a loving anger. Amen? Yeah. A love-driven anger causes sacrificial acts to happen for the good of those who are loved. Church, it was zeal that sent Jesus to the cross. It was zeal that sent Jesus battling the grave for us. Amen. We couldn't defeat sin ourselves. We couldn't defeat the grave ourselves. We couldn't defeat hell ourselves. But Jesus, in his love, in his zeal, in his anger at what the enemy had done, he defeated sin. He defeated hell. He defeated death for us. Amen. For you and for me. Amen. Jesus was motivated by righteous anger. Church, anger has to be used rightly. It can only be used as God uses it, amen? And there are things in the world that we need to be angry about, you know? There is sin happening all around us. There's injustice happening all around us. People are getting hurt all around us. Children are getting hurt all around us, amen? We've only had it this weekend. And it's okay for us to get righteously angry at that. But that righteous anger needs to motivate us. It needs to motivate us into a righteous action, amen? Anyone remember Popeye? Popeye the Sailor Man? Am I the only person? Popeye the Sailor Man. He was good. And he was this timid little sailor man, and he was in love with this girl called Olive. It's a cartoon for the younger generation that don't know who I'm talking about. It was a cartoon, and he loved Olive. She was his girl, like. But she also got in trouble lots of times because, you know, there was always a villain that caught her and tied her to a train track or tied her to a cannon or something. And Popeye would see his girl in trouble, and this anger would start to rise up in him. But he was only this little guy, so he couldn't do a whole lot about it. So he ate spinach. He always had a can of spinach around, and he ate the spinach. He used to down the spinach, and he would eat it, and it would make him strong, particularly in his arms. And he would get to this place just before he took the spinach that he would say, I can stand no more. His English wasn't the best. And he used to get angry. I can stand no more, he used to say. Then he'd down the spinach, get strong, and he'd go and he'd release his girl. You know, he'd release the one he loved. And a lot of anger in the world today, unfortunately, church, is not righteous anger. Why? I think it's possible that we live in a society that's turning more and more selfish. I hate to say that because it's not everybody, but there is a lot of selfishness out there, isn't there? And we are intended to be motivated by anger to bring righteousness to the world. To be motivated by this anger to bring righteousness to the world, but yet the world seems to be more and more selfish turning. And that's sad, isn't it? And it's not the way it should be. But it just seems to be turning that way. It's like, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. I want to drive out in front of you in traffic. I don't want to wait in line. I want to do this. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And this selfishness has called society to turn to being maybe more vindictive than redemptive. Yeah. You know, and we need to stop that, especially in church, amen. We need to get ourselves to a place that we allow God to stir those Popeye moments in us, amen. That's all I can stand no more, amen. We need to get to that place. How do we do that? We put off the old self and we put on the new self, amen. Because remember, we read that old self is corrupted by deceitful desires. So we need to put on our new self. We can get so overwhelmed by stuff that it bogs us down and it causes us to forget that we should be getting righteously angry at that, amen? And then when we're forgetting to be righteously angered, we're not being stirred up to moments of intercession. Like maybe moments of, I'll give you an example because we talked about honesty last week. I was in a supermarket not that long ago here in town, and I saw a person not living the way God intended that person to live. Not dressing the way God intended, not acting the way God intended. And you know, I was kind of frowning on the person a little bit, I admit it. And I went and I told Enda all about the person. And as I was putting this message together, I realized that wasn't me being righteously angry. What happened, what should have happened there, and don't tell me you've never had those thoughts, what should happen there is we should get so righteously angry that a righteous anger should rise up in it, that we're moved to action, amen? Yeah. So instead of me frowning on that person and going to Enda and telling them all about that person, I should have just prayed for that person. I should have given that person to God and asked God to bless that person and to open that person's mind to what's actually behind going on behind it. It's not the person that we get angry with. It's not the person that we judge. We get righteously angry at the force that's behind it. Amen. We need to get righteously angry. Amen. We need to have that righteous zeal for our children. Maybe instead of complaining, look at all the stuff that we see our children watching online and all the influences that are online. Maybe we need to look at the counterbalance and think, wait a minute, I need to get righteously angry at this. I need to have righteous zeal here, and I need to make sure my kids are in church every Sunday. My kids are going to church, is Sunday school. My kids are going to the new kids club that we've started. Maybe we should be thinking, my teenagers, oh, you know, we're telling everybody it's such a bad influence online, and you know, they've been really influenced. Maybe we need to get that righteous zeal behind us and make sure they're here for youth on a Friday night. You know, maybe we need to make sure they're at youth camps. Maybe if you don't have kids or you don't have youth, maybe you need to get a righteous zeal to want to work with the kids and want to work with the youth and want to sign up for summer camp as we just saw. That's a righteous act, amen? You know, we can sit back and say, oh, this and this influence and that influence and they're watching this and they're watching that. But we have a summer camp then and we don't work at it. We have a summer camp that's teaching the words and we don't help. Amen. Or we have stuff going on in church and we don't get behind it. We need to church. We need to wake up and get that righteous zeal into her. We need to have a righteous zeal for the unborn. We need to have a righteous zeal for the lost in our world. We need to have a righteous zeal for all God wants us to accomplish as a church. You know, I read this during the week and it actually disturbed me. So I'm going to disturb you. Why should I be disturbed on my own? It's by an early Christian leader called John Chrysostom. I think you guys are going to put it up. It is true that he who is angry without cause sins, okay? So if we get angry and we don't have cause to be angry, that means we're sinning. But listen to this. But he who is not angry where there is cause also sins, and perhaps to an even greater degree. That blew my mind, guys. You know, we think, oh, we're getting angry and there's no cause, so that's sinful. But what about not getting angry when there is cause and not doing anything about it? This guy says, maybe that's more sinful. Amen? Loving anger is redemptive rather than vindictive. So if we want to be more like God, we need not to be vindictive, but we need to get to a place where we are redemptive in life. Amen? Yeah. Looking back to that scripture, Ephesians 4:26, be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your angry anger and give no opportunity to the enemy. If we want to be more like God, then we need to be angry. But church, if we want to be more like God, we cannot lose our self-control. Amen? We cannot lose control when we're angry. Because losing control when we're angry gives opportunity, gives a foothold to the devil. And unfortunately, it's so easy to do, isn't it? We get angry and we lose control. You know, and some of us can be aggressive when we're angry, like the Hulk. Some of us can be a little bit more passive when we're angry. But either way is sinful. Because I was thinking when I sat down about this message, I was like, I'm kind of a passive person. I don't really have an issue with anger. But sometimes when we get angry even passively, we can sin. I heard this story about this older couple who were years and years and years married, and they were sitting down, they were talking about their married life, and they started to talk about all the arguments and fights they used to have. And she, in a humble moment, like us women do, she said to him, I always got really aggressive during our arguments and fights, but you always seemed to be really calm. How did you stay so calm during all those arguments and all those fights we had? And he said, well, it's really very simple. Whenever we started to fight, I would go and clean the toilet. And she said, really? That kept you calm? Cleaning the toilet kept you calm? He said, yes, love, because I used your toothbrush. So you see, passive anger is not always the best either. You know, when we get angry, whether the reason we're angry is justified or not, church, we cannot lose control. Amen. We cannot be like God and lose control. And because, just before we finish, I'm going to give you a story, because Enda talked about honesty last week, and we have to be honest. A few years ago, we pulled into a petrol station. It's only myself and the girls. Girls were young, and they were sitting in the back. And we had had a long day. We were tired. Pulled into petrol station. There was a long queue. I don't know if these even remember this. And we were in a queue, and I always like to pull in to the pump. You know, it's kind of a woman thing, probably. You know, the pump for your car, the side of your car that the places to put petrol in. It makes it a lot easier than trying to pull, you know, the men are able to pull the hoses around them. But anyway, I don't like doing that. So I queued where I needed to queue for that. And I was just about, we were ages in the queue, and I was just about to pull into the pump when this man, came from behind and drove in front of me and took my place. I was so angry. You know, when I got over the few seconds of shock versus what had happened, I was so angry. I was holding this, fuming at this guy. How dare he? I've been in this queue. It was my turn. How dare he sweep in so rudely? He was so ignorant, and he was blah, 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 blah. So angry. And so he gets out anyway, and he starts pump. And when he does that, the pump ahead becomes free, so I get to sidle in around and start. And I was like, that's it. I'm getting out. I'm going out. And I'm a passive person, but I felt, no, I need to show my guards an example. This is not right. I have to tell this guy what he did. But just as I was about to get out of the car, I thought, don't do it. Don't give out to him. Okay, so I didn't. So got out, starts pumping the petrol anyway, you know, and he puts his, closes his cap and, you know, goes off in to pay for his petrol, and I'm watching him the whole way in, like, with these eyes. This is truth. So cross. So cross. And then I start to get angry with myself. You wimp. I call myself a wimp. You wimp. You wouldn't just go and chastise that man. What sort of an example are you showing to your daughters, letting them think that they can be pushovers all their life? Blah, blah, blah. I was having this conversation in my head. So then I finished pumping the petrol, right? Took out the pump out of the car to put it back in, and I happened to look down, and here's what I was wearing. Can you see it? Sorry? Thank God. I was wearing this shirt. Oh, we must have come from youth or something. I don't know. I was wearing this shirt, thank God, with a big red heart as well. Can you imagine how that guy would have reacted? Because he was obviously, let's be face it, he was a rude and ignorant man for causing in front of me. But imagine if I had got out and started to challenge him. His temperament probably would have been, look at your shirt, girl. Can you imagine what would have happened? How my witness, everything would have been destroyed. I would have embarrassed my children and everything. Amen. And I just thought, when I was thinking about this, thinking, you know, I'm a very passive person. And then I remembered that. But look what could have happened. Amen. I got up that morning and I put on that sweatshirt and I thought, I'm the bee's knees. I'm so Christian. I'm such a good believer in Christ that I'll wear, thank God, across my top. But look what I could have done, amen? Look what I could have done. We can't be like God and lose control. So how do we do that? Well, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, or sound mind. It's the same thing. God's spirit can empower self-control in us, amen? Yeah. Even at times when it's most difficult. Even in times when we are angry, whether righteously angry or unrighteously angry, we can walk in self-control. We can be angry and not sin, but we have to put on that spirit daily, amen? Because that spirit is powerful. It's more powerful than the circumstances, and church, also, it's more loving than the circumstances, amen? We can have self-control. When I was angry at those petrol pumps, like, the spirit would have been telling me, calm down. Calm down, calm down. But I nearly didn't, amen? Thank God I did. Thank God I was at a place to receive it. We need to get ourselves to a place where that check kicks in as the anger starts to boil, amen? Just at the beginning of the anger boiling. Because God's spirit in us will help us to be absolutely in control in what we say and what we do in every situation. But we can't do it by ourselves. Because the Bible tells us in James chapter 3 and verse 8, but no human can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. But the Bible also tells us in Luke 18:27, what is impossible with man is possible with church. Anger may be in your family. Maybe you deal with angry. You know, because you're all lovely guys when you're in here, lovely ladies when you're in here. But I know you go home. I know. You know? And maybe anger is something that you deal with. Well, don't be embarrassed about it, because God can help you. Amen. And maybe, like I say, it's something that was in your family and it's been passed down from generation to generation, you know, and maybe words of anger or acts of anger. And it's time to break that now. Amen. Time to break it. You need to break it. Do not pass it on to your kids. Do not pass it on to your grandkids. And, you know, we can think that they're just words. You know, yeah, I said them in anger, but they don't mean anything. Well, what's the old saying? Sticks and stones will break my bones. Names, words will hurt us. Amen. Won't hurt us, it says. But that's a lie. Because Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So don't run with the excuse, "Ah, are just words," or "I didn't mean it. You know, it's just who I am. I can't control it." Yes, you can. Amen. If you're a believer in Christ, you have the ability to put off the old man. You have the ability to put off that anger and put on the new man and become more like Jesus. Amen. As we grow in our walk with God, we can be more like him. Last scripture reminds you of Psalm 145, verse 8, slow to anger. We can be like that. Slow to anger. And we can abound in steadfast love. We need to ask God to fill us with his spirit, church. A spirit that's more powerful than that angering situation. Amen. A spirit that will help us to even love our enemies and will empower self-control. Be angry, but do not sin, the scripture said, remember? Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. One version says, give no foothold to the devil. What is a foothold? It's when you have the door open and somebody puts their foot in to stop the door from closing. Don't let the enemy get a foothold. Anger will give him a foothold, amen? It will give him a foothold. If there's somebody that you're angry with, I encourage you today, go sort it out. Amen? Go sort it out. Because if the enemy's foot is in that door, the door can't be closed because his foot is there. And there's also a gap for him to get in. Amen? And wreak havoc. So I encourage you, close that door. Let's put on the likeness of God. Amen? Let's strive always to be more like God. Because when we're more like God, our witness is accelerated. Yeah. Our witness is stronger. Our witness is increased. Amen. Let's be more like God. And when the anger stirs up, then we hit that self-control button. Amen. And stop us from messing up. Let's be more like God, church. And then when that phone pings, when your Be Real app pings, you can just take the photo straight away. Amen.